Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and the Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Starship 15, Boca Chica, Texas, momentarily, perhaps Starbase, Texas, soon enough. SpaceX has successfully landed Starship 15. What does it mean? I go to Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying right there in Boca Chica. Bob, the image is vivid. Starship 15 is upright, having landed exactly where it took off. What does this mean for SpaceX? What does this mean for Musk's ambition to get to the moon and Mars? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, so your listeners know, Starship 15 is the 15th prototype of this upper stage of SpaceX's heavy lift rocket. It'll be comparable to the Saturn V and able to put 100 tons into orbit. And Starship is the upper stage. Unlike the Saturn V, it will be completely reusable, both the first stage called Super Heavy and Starship, the upper stage, will land vertically like the Falcon 9 first stage does. And so they've been doing test flights of the prototypes at Boca Chica, Texas, at the southern tip of Texas, over the last year or so, trying to, you know, refine this design in the early stages of development. And so far, every single prototype that they've done a hop on of the Starship, and they've been actually very successful to have it take off, fly to about 10 kilometers, 6 miles, then turn on its side and duplicate what it would be like coming back from Earth, from orbit, you know, sideways, kind of like the shuttle, under control. And then the final part of the flight has been turn it vertical and land vertically. And that's the part they've been having trouble with. All the rest of the flights have been really, really good. And so only one was able to even land intact, but then it blew up 10 minutes later. So this was the 15th prototype. It launched this week. Success, first test flight of this, they've only been one test flight of all of these because they all crashed, but this one might fly again because it not only took off, flew to 10 kilometers, 6 miles, but it turned on its side, it came down very smoothly, and then right before landing, it turned itself vertical, and then on one engine, very gently landed on the landing pad, which is about, I don't know, 100 yards from where it took off, John. And, perfect flight. I mean, it's a test flight. There was a fire at the while it was sitting there after the landing, but that's okay. That's part of the refinement. They got to figure out how to prevent a slight, you know, a few little bits of extra fuel get out and burn. And they had a fire suppression system with water that put it out quickly. And so then what's going to happen next is likely they're going to spend some time really looking this spacecraft over very closely to see what worked, what didn't, what was damaged. You know, even though it's landed safely, it's a prototype. They got to look at it closely. They're building number 16 right now, and what I've been hearing is they're probably going to launch 16 next, but then follow up with a second flight of 15. Just to keep the cadence going. Good. So 16 is ready to go, fly it, and then 15 to follow after its checkout.
And it's great fun to watch it live. It's even better fun to have your brother send you the video of it live, but because you've missed it. And it's excitement for those of us who are geeky about going into space. There's more. Blue Origin. This is all commercial space now. Blue Origin. Bob is Bill has the New Shepard. What is the ambition, and what have they done?
Well, New Shepard is Blue Origin's suborbital spacecraft. It has a capsule at the top and then a booster on the bottom, and both take off After the end, it does a suborbital flight, lasts about, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes at most. Both come down, and are reused. The booster comes down and lands vertically like a Falcon 9, first stage. And the capsule comes down on parachutes. And they've been building this thing for more than 10 years, actually. Development seemed to slow about 4 years ago, but they have now done enough test flights that they announced this week that they are going to do the first commercial flight with a tourist on board on July 20th of this year. That's the 52nd anniversary of the Apollo landing on the moon. Nice choice of date. But they're not, and they're selling tickets, but they haven't announced the price for that flight. Instead, they've announced an auction. You can get on the flight by winning the auction. So from May 5th to the 19th, they're doing sealed online bidding. You can bid any amount. Your amount will be secret. Then after May 19th, it will be unsealed bidding. So the bids become visible and everyone can then see what the bids are and try to top them. And then on June 12th, there'll be a live auction completing the bid. And the winning bid amount will then be donated to Blue Origin's foundation. They call it Club to the Future. You know, this is to pursue careers for educational purposes. And you get to fly in space. It's a short suborbital flight. It is not an orbital flight. But what this does, Jeff Bezos has topped. He's basically, there's a billionaire space race here. Elon Musk's SpaceX was going to do the first commercial orbital flight with passengers in September. And this way, by flying this in July, they kind of beat SpaceX to this. So anyway, that's that. And it's kind of exciting, John. The first is I've been waiting for this for almost 20 years, and it's really good news.
And Bezos is raising money. Do we know what he's going to do? I mean, he's got a lot of money to raise, but what is he going to put the proceeds from the Amazon stock to Blue Origin? Do we know?
We don't know. What we know is that this week he sold another $2.4 billion in Amazon stock. He picked a good time. The stock is very high right now. Over the last three or four years, by my estimate of the various stories, he's raised about $12 billion in cash in his pocket. Now, he had said about 5 years ago that he was going to sell about $1 billion worth of stock of Amazon each year to fund Blue Origin. But he also said last year that he wants to sell stock to spend about $10 billion fighting climate change. That's his words. So how much of this $12 billion that he's now raised in cash is going to Blue Origin is not clear. There's no question, though, that Blue Origin has a lot of cash. In fact, in some ways, probably more cash than SpaceX, even though SpaceX has raised about $6 billion of private venture capital.
All right.
Either way, good news.
Let's go to Florida and my favorite name, Dream Chaser. What is it, Bob?
Dream Chaser is the class of reusable mini shuttles that Sierra Vista, soon to become Sierra Space, is building. They're building a cargo vessel called Tenacity for NASA, and it's going to provide cargo up and down to ISS. It'll be able to land on a runway and be reusable. Dream Chaser is the class of vehicles. They can later make more cargo vehicles, or they could make a manned vehicle is their eventual goal. Well, they have now gotten clearance to land Tenacity, that first cargo vessel, on the runway at the Kennedy Space Center where the shuttles used to land. And they now have announced that they're planning for the first flight in 22, next year. And so if everything goes right, not only will we have two different manned capsules to get to ISS and two different cargo capsules to get to ISS, one reusable, we will now have a mini shuttle reusable to get to ISS. And that will eventually be upgraded, I'm sure, to a manned vessel.
And that means that commercial space is not only successful, it's building the competition that will invite more to come, much more to
come.
Oh, yes. Now, the story that Bob touched on for the first time recently has now taken root in the American media, even beyond the space engineering media. This is about Long March 5B. That is the big booster that the PRC has built for its plan to raise a space station in low Earth orbit and then go on to the moon. It has ambitions to build moon colonies or cislunar orbitals. However, there is a, what Bob assures me, I can say this correctly, there is a fundamental design flaw in Long March 5B. What is it, Bob?
It is Its core stage, which is the basic rocket that launches everything, it weighs 21 metric tons. That core stage, once it puts its payload in orbit, cannot restart its engines, cannot control itself in any way, and because it's 21 tons, its orbit will decay quickly, and it is guaranteed to hit the ground. It might break up, but there are going to be pieces hitting the ground. This violates the Outer Space Treaty because they designed it with this in mind, and you're supposed to control any object you think is going to hit the ground if you're a signatory to the Outer Space Treaty. Well, that booster, we're going to get updates daily, and so what I tell you now could change any minute now. But right now, the predicted center point reentry window is just to the southwest of the coast of Australia in the Indian Ocean. And the window for reentry is 21 hours long. So that's about 10 and a half hours either way from that center point. And the orbital tracks basically means that if it lands any time within that window, a little early or late, it could land on Australia, it could land on India, it could land in the Middle East, it could land on a large part of Africa or South America, it could land in the southern part of Europe, and most importantly, it pretty much covers that the multiple tracks, the entire continental United States.
Bob, but the important thing here is that this is not a one-off, right? This is a design flaw, so every time they launch Long March 5B, we're going to go through this exercise of where it could land.
That's correct. The first Long March 5B launch last May had the same issues. They have two more modules to put up of their space station at this moment. That's going to be two more launches of this. They're going to use the full 5B, I think, to do some of their planetary missions. Every time they launch this rocket, China's basically saying to the world, we're going to dump something on your head. It's unconscionable, John, really.
And there was a news item that the Defense Department, the Secretary of Defense, there was a conference about, do we bring it down? Is it a danger to us? Now, Bob, that's not a one-off either. Each time there's a Long March 5B component of the space station, there's going to be a meeting somewhere about, do we bring it down? Do we have the capability of bringing it down, Bob?
We have the capability of taking satellites out, yes, with a missile. We've tested that, and we can do it. But there are issues with doing it with this. For one, its size, its orbit, whether you'll actually be gaining anything, which will create a lot of junk and debris, and that might actually just not make things better. There are real difficult issues with trying to bring it down. And so if it was a missile with a warhead coming at us, you'd go for it. Because right. If it blows up in space debris falls down, that's a lesser evil than having the warhead hit. But here, I want to emphasize that the odds of this doing any harm to anyone is very, very, very slim. Think of the Columbia accident. It spewed debris of that shuttle across the United States, and no one got hurt. And the situation here is somewhat comparable. In fact, it's less dangerous because there are likely no toxic fuels on this stage. Doesn't matter. You're supposed to be a responsible member of the space community. You're not supposed to launch or build things that you know are going to fall on people's heads.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. When we come back, we're going to Mars. This is Space Exploration. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and the Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be real.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.